Well, today, of course, is 3 days before Christmas, the time that we choose to celebrate the birth of Christ. I want to look at what I call the miracles in Jesus' birth. You know, the scriptures describe the birth of Jesus as miraculous. And it is nothing short of that, because it's something that any human person could ever plan out and make happen. You know, the word tells us, actually, this was orchestrated by our Heavenly Father God Himself, because there are several different miracles that are involved in the birth of Christ. Let's start off by reading Matthew 1, 18 through 21. I'll give you an opportunity to turn there. Some say, well, you're not turning. No, I used to have to do that, but nowadays with cut and paste, I can get it right here on my notes and don't have to turn the pages to find it. All right, here we go. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now look over in Luke 1:26. All right. Let's see, and people on the front are still turning pages. I'll give them wait just a minute. Okay. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angels told her, "for you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, for his kingdom shall never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Now, these are the verses that are describing the birth of Jesus. And it's all being accomplished by the power of God. It couldn't happen in the natural. It's beyond most of our mere human thinking. You know, someone has said, it's unknown, "Rejoice, be glad, because a Savior has come to the earth. The greatest miracle of all time has taken place. The child of God has come to the earth in human form." You know, Christmas started with the miraculous birth of Christ. And miraculous events of the first Christmas has made it possible for us to continue to have miraculous events in our lives. You know, sometimes we neglect to expect God to perform for us. But that's what he sent Jesus to the earth for, so that he could come and be with us, so that he could do for us. You know, when you begin to study all of the events leading up to the birth of Christ, it's nothing short of miraculous. You know, it's the supernatural fulfillment of the Old Testament, actually starting all the way back in Genesis. When Genesis 3:15, "And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel." This is God speaking thousands of years before, saying that there will be a time that the enemy will be put underfoot. Thousands of years later then, the prophet Isaiah, he is known as the Messianic prophet because he describes more in detail the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ than any other of the prophets. And he said in Isaiah 7:14, if you want to turn there, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then in Isaiah 9:6, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, these were spoken by the prophet Isaiah. But did you realize that the place of the birth was prophesied by Micah in Micah 5:2? "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephraim, are only a small village among all the Judah. You're ruler of Israel." Yet a ruler of Israel, excuse me, I'm having trouble seeing. "Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf." Let me wipe my eye there. All right, here we go. Now, as we look throughout the Old Testament, God spoke in many different ways through many different prophets in some aspect of the coming of the Messiah. Now, as we begin to look at this, only God could arrange so supernaturally all of these prophetic utterances would come together for the birth of Christ. You know, he put forth a lot of effort so that everything happened according to order. We need to stretch our minds and our spirits to embrace the idea that God is miraculously moving in our lives. Sometimes we don't understand it. Who could understand a 23-year-old that's getting ready to graduate my last year in Bible college? Have to go and spent 3 years in Uncle Sam's army. But I want to tell you what, stuff that I encountered and I learned there, I use in the operation of what I'm doing today. Never discount what's going on. You see, they discounted those prophecies. So when Jesus did arrive, they weren't ready. Although that was the most read prophet in the synagogue was Isaiah. And Isaiah laid it out, how that the Messiah would come. And yet they weren't ready because they weren't expecting. I want to encourage you to expect God to move in your life. Expect God to bring you through every situation and learn from that situation, because it's through learning from the situations that God brings you through that you can help somebody else, but that it also can propel you to your next level with God. You know, let's first look at the miraculous birth of John the Baptist. I'm talking about the miracles in Jesus' birth. You see, John the Baptist was born from parents who could have no children. They were in their old age. We would say he's a miracle baby. You know, he was born a little before Jesus, but this was necessary because he was the forerunner talking about Jesus that would come. He was the one that Jesus went to at the River Jordan to be baptized. Then there is the miracle of angels appearing to people numerous of times. He appeared to Mary, to Joseph, to shepherds. You know, now this is happening 400 years of silence. From Malachi to Matthew, there is 400 years of silence from God. He did not speak to anyone at all. And then suddenly, the angels started appearing to various people with messages of God's Son coming, the Messiah. The miracle of the Virgin Mary conceiving and having the Holy Child through the power of the Holy Spirit in Matthew 1:18, we've read it already. You know, a lot of people try to discount the virgin birth. Some people try to conjure up some scientific idea how this could happen. But there is no evidence, really. Yet the Bible reveals that it is a supernatural event directed and orchestrated by God Himself. You know, we believe in the birth of Jesus. It was miraculous because of the miraculous birth of Jesus. We have received the miraculous birth of becoming a new creature born through Jesus Christ. The miracle of God becoming man and dwelling with us. Philippians 2:6-7. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. How could the infinite God fit into a finite physical body? Jesus' birth, the Son of God, became man. The miracle of the star guiding the wise men. Now here's something that many people miss. If you go back and you begin to study, you'll find that it says that it went to the house, didn't go to the stable, went to the house. It took these wise men quite a while. Some Bible scholars think it took 2 years for them to get there. The reason they do that is because King Herod, they didn't go back and tell him where he was. And so he ordered everybody killed, every baby killed from 2 years down. See, Matthew 2 tells us, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About the same time, wise men in the eastern land arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw a star and it rose and come to worship him. Then the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. When it went ahead of them, and stopped over the place where the child was. These guys were knowledgeable. They were probably maybe what we would call astrologers today, astronomers. They studied the skies. And all of a sudden, there was a star that hadn't been there before. And it didn't go away. It started moving. They started following it. And it led them to Jesus. The miracle of Joseph's dreams. Now, the angel actually appeared to Mary. But Joseph, the angel appeared to him in dreams. You know, there's only a few verses about Joseph in the Gospels. And one third of those verses describe the angels appearing and talking to him. These miraculous dreams help keep the baby alive. Actually, in the last dream he had, he went down to Egypt to keep him safe so that Herod couldn't kill him. These dreams were a part of the miracle alignment so that Jesus could come. As you begin to line all of these up, you go to Galatians 4. As you go to Galatians 4, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. Now I'm reading most of these. I'm reading from the new NLT. At the right time. Think about this for a moment. God lined up one supernatural thing after another so that Jesus would come to the earth at the right time. Going all the way back with the prophets as they prophesied about his coming. You know, as I was studying this and getting this, putting this all together, man, I began to sort of get cold chills down my back. I mean, man, this is something else. When you began to see how it was put together, no man could have done this. It's God himself orchestrating a plan all the way from the Garden of Eden whenever the enemy, the devil himself, Satan had been kicked out of heaven because he was trying to overthrow God. He couldn't overthrow God, so now he steals God's man that he had created to walk and talk with, to fellowship with. And right there, when he said, his heel will bruise your head. There is the beginning of God putting it together. Choom. Down through the ages until that night. We call it Christmas Eve. I don't know whether it was on that night or not. I'm not going to get in an argument with you over it. I've studied it in school and all the different arguments that they are. I don't care. What I care about is that this is the time that I celebrate the coming of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it was this time of year or not, or when, this is when I celebrated. Man, when you begin to think about all the way from the Garden of Eden through the events of history, Isaiah doing all of his prophecies, the other prophecies, and then it coming to pass. And then going from there to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he changed his identity from the man to the son, from the son of man to the son of God. And there in the Garden of Eden, in the garden was where, the Garden of Eden is where the enemy stole God's man. In the Garden of Gethsemane on his knees is where the Son of God said, if it be possible, let this pass. But if not, I take sin, my own self. I will be sacrificed so that mankind once again can fellowship with the Father, God himself. Man, let me tell you what, he is continuing to do miracles today. He is continuing to do things in your life that you don't even consider that are miraculous. You know, that same miracle power of God can work in your life today as it did on that particular season of time. Psalm 76:7 says, so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. The context of this verse that I just quoted is giving instructions to the generations of Israel not to forget what God had done for them. And yet this verse is also showing that whatever God had done before, he's ready and willing and able to do it for us. The message is clear to us today, thousands of years later. The message is clear that he wants to minister to mankind. One person has made this observation. I thought it was pretty neat. Jesus could have been born to a wealthy, prominent family in the holy city of Jerusalem with the pomp and the fanfare of a king. Instead, God chose a teenage girl, an outsider from Nazareth, lowly shepherds, pagan foreigners, a little town, a humble manger, to announce the birth of Jesus, his son. Jesus is for everyone. Jesus came for the foreigner, the outcast, the despised, the rejected, the imperfect, the sick, the broken, the weak, the weary, the depressed, the needy, the criminal. He came for the sinner. He will not reject or despise anyone who turns to him, but freely offers his grace and forgiveness to anyone who believes and accepts it. Through the message of Christmas, we see the miraculous. And through this miraculous event, God reached his hand down to once again to the humanity that he created to grab their hand through the birth of Jesus Christ that became the sacrifice for your sin, so that you can reach up and grab the hand of God and walk through life born again by the power of God, realizing that God has not changed. He is still the same today. He is still that miracle working God. He continues to communicate with us today in visions, in dreams, in our personal prayer life. He's still working supernatural things to bring about the ultimate plan for your life. Never forget what it says in Psalms 106:2. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? We need to remember what he's done for us. And we can never, ever give him enough glory or enough praise for what he's done for us. We look back and we talk about a babe in a manger, but he's no longer in the manger. He's no longer walking the hills of Judea. He's no longer riding in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. He's no longer hanging on a cross. He's no longer in the grave. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father today because he came at this season of the year for one reason and one reason only, and that is for mankind to have salvation and fellowship with God the Father once again. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. We have simply talked to these people today about the miracles that was in the birth of Christ. Help us never to forget that, and help us never to forget that you're wanting to work in our lives. We thank you for Jesus today. Heads bowed and eyes are closed.